specific to which I think the entire process On that note, can we deal now with the issues of apology? I'm not sure I must say this to honorable members of the opposition. You think that instead of increasing the need for patience, if it was organically created, you were asking the question, why is it forgiven more when you are not spending than putting it in the back of the house? I don't know. You're not here, but you seem to be free instead of fast. So they seem to be a permanent absentee and a non-field coach. I don't think we should sit and enjoy that the other because the permanent absentee for that piece of there's been this permanent coach. That will choose his person. Please don't decide to talk instead of that. Now, with the honor of the dilemma, the principle of the permanent action, the people, the three, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do with the arrangement of the system. But I would have thought that if they do have a forum where opposition touching on it, they would be able to attend to that issue. Where could the one that the honorable estate has said is a member of NAG, but he is an understanding in the case by the case and he has requested the company to speak to this because he needs to hear from us. This is that is very important. But I am just raising that issue so that it is an issue that really Any apologies?
This morning, members of the AM, I got apologies from Mr. Malena and Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Honorable members, we are presenting to you the report and it is quite cumbersome. Compile it, the report on the oversight visit, but we have thought also related to have a take on what we are thinking of doing. We can be able to do this, we can be able to do this on the project. For now, I think we've got an option, and I must say that the vice said that he is in one of the coming attacks. We've got a responsibility there to deal with the report. We must say we are open, should be open to that. That as we do the report together, we may not push members. We feel that in terms of giving witnesses to change the adoption it can be a matter that we can deal with probably as we go for the, but I thought it's important to do what I would call quality check, so that it is factored in such a way that where there are gaps and where there are issues that we want to factor in, then we adopt it on the basis that it is a true reflection of what this committee can make a contribution on. First, we'll have to look in terms of the contents of the activities. Secondly, we can look at the areas where there are observations or findings. Then we can look on the issues of the recommendation. And then if honorable members want us to adopt with those amendments, or are of the view that let's go back and polish it now, put in the factor in those areas they feel are outstanding, and then we'll bring it back and now as a reflection of the discussions or of the contributions that have been made by the committee, I don't think it's a matter that we can be tough or hard on. So can we go on page one on the report? On page one, it just gives a background on the visits of the committee, and then part thereof deals with the composition of the delegation. Is there any matter on page one? On page two, numbers are correct. The only thing is that the last two are too far from the first two. We are still on page three, page four. page 5. Another Brianna. Okay.
pretty unconscious must be correct that he doesn't know how to do it. So he's a narcissist. He's a narcissist in terms of human self-development.11.
Can we, perhaps in terms of the figures, have them aligned properly? On the first paragraph, total annual budget is R, and then the figure is lost on the other side, which is 3,600,000. And also, again, on the Simobile Vegetable Project, the last sentence, the total cost since inception was 1 rand, and then there's 500,000 on the other side. So, if it can be aligned properly to read well. Thank you.
Okay.
Chairperson, on the third page.
Mm-hmm.
The last sentence, the company has a total budget of 2 million for each year starting from the year 2001. Want to correct it?
paragraph, fourth line, etc. dot close bracket and then dot. What? On the etc. I nearly took it to the economic transformation class, I said. Sorry.
Read that.
8.1, fourth sentence, subject etc. dot bracket, close bracket, and then another dot.
Also, Chair, I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the different intelligence of my same party. They must be paid.
Not the report. If you want to write about them, okay. But not here.
Thanks, Chair. I think what Honorable McClellan is trying to emphasize is that their eloquence in the English language would assist because maybe he's challenged in some sector.
I can't trust Honorable McClellan's translation.
Well founded, Mr. Chair.
Maybe another commander. Did not ask for a Van Ryan for English. So if we go according to the same name, then I can't trust him to help me with English. Page 14. Page 15.
9.4 members as bullet number 1, 2, 3. Is it 4? Yeah, it's 4. There's a question after the problems of old working and thinking. How big is the problem? There must be a question mark. How big is the problem?
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much. You can go to this.
Mr.
Chair, I suggest that on the fourth
bullet.
There's a fourth bullet. I would suggest we say still the challenge to employ women. The fourth bullet on page 16. Sorry, on one page you didn't.
Oh, okay. No, that's where I was.
Yeah.
I thought you were taking me back.
I know, maybe Mr. Lorimer did.
Okay.
The fourth. She's upholding the whole committee proceeding here. Fourth bullet, still a challenge to employ women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. dynamism, also called totemism. Water use license. Water license is something else. Water license is under the those works of authority. You have the license to use. There is water use license.
Thank you, Honorable Shepherd. Where does energy get in here?
No, I'm talking about tennis, you know, for I was appreciating that you put tennis. And I've meant that.
Thank you, sir. Sorry to take you back, but on page 11 it says the last sentence here starting from year 201 to 2019. I don't know whether you want to help us or not, but I don't know what to do.
I just wanted to say in this section, Mr. Chair, that I recognize that these may be concerns of some members of the committee, all these things listed under findings. I don't share all of them. Some of them I do, some of them I don't. So, you know, I recognize that if certain members of the committee express some of these, I don't necessarily agree with them.
Mr. Chair, I agree with you on what. Maybe we should delete bullet two, because an attitude is something which is not determinable on the facts. It would be best just to delete bullet two.
Okay. Page 19.
Needs to develop a clear housing policy for its employees.
third group.
Third group? Very good, fourth.
Yeah.
I'm never comfortable with the use of the wires. Now I've got the Department of Labor, but I love the kitchen. Excuse me, the Department of Manpower. With the use of the source of manpower.
Any other issues?
Yeah. It's already, on all of these three men, already given the trust to the fire rather than manpower, power of men.
It's a long-running argument, Mr. Chair, and I don't think it's ever really been solved. It's whether in some context the prefix man in fact refers only to males. It can also mean all people, as in human, for example. It doesn't just mean men. It means men and women. So the same thing, if you say manpower means men and women. It's a long-running argument, as I say.
We'll have a debate on one day on gender. When it comes to the issue then about power relations, there's a general assumption that men is power, men is men power. In fact, what is being contested now is that almost all the issues that relate, let me say, are getting the absence of a better way that relates to resource. Because if you say resource personnel, they feel in that person the son is drawing a positive reflection man. So it's a long debate that it may not require this committee, maybe the committee on women and the president will at least one day to get a better. Now, some ask that even under the name woman, there is still man at the time. So it's a womb, man. But the difference that is the only argument that when you say manpower, now you are even being more stronger. Only man has power, and therefore everyone is subjected by interpretation to that man. And I would say for the comfort of the community, in as much as human resource requirement, at least a certain degree does not relate to power issues in terms of gender. It relates to the requirement. But I think there are quite a number of issues also besides that I think one would want to also, because sometimes your mind comes back to a different level. Honorable Smith, before I say so, Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It reads, DMR should clearly reflect its manpower requirements as it pertains to the monitoring of all. What I suspect it says is that the DMR should align its human resource requirements to the needs of monitoring of all environmental health impacts. So it doesn't really state what it means. So I would suggest that one amended to read, DMR should clearly should align its human resource requirements, staffing requirements, even better, staffing requirements to the needs to monitor all environmental, something to that effect.
Would you have mentioned the honor of Honorable?
Staffing is a word that I favor, Mr. Chair. But I mean, even this seems a little bit convoluted. What are we saying here? DMR must hire enough inspectors. Why don't we just say that?
But mainly though that there seems to be more shortage on environmental and having
the DMR should ensure its employees sufficient inspectors for the environment and health monitoring.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I'm concerned here on the finding in terms of Lafarge as well on the recommendation. The finding says there is no clear housing policy by the company, its obligations on its social and labor plans regarding housing for employees are not clear. And I don't think it's the issue of not clear, they are non-existent. There are 45 employees there and they don't have any housing for them at all. And in terms of growth of the operation, they are not foreseeing any means whatsoever in building any accommodation. They had said that they would look to grow the operation to about 650 employees. There is no intention whatsoever to have any housing built there. So I would like us to look at the finding there. And in terms of the recommendation, we want to suggest that Lafarge needs to come up with a clear housing policy for its employees. This is one of the violations of their mining right. You are required to provide housing for your employees, and I think we need to rephrase that, like assistance in that regard. Thank you.
The chair. Chair, I've got a slightly different view. The point I think about Lafarge is that they operate very close to an urban area, less than 10 kilometers away. I don't think, first of all, that there is likely to, that we will find in their licensing conditions any obligation to provide housing. But neither do I think that there should be, because if somebody is within a commuting distance of a job, I don't think there should be a requirement for a mining company to build houses. I mean, then you have to start saying, well, why doesn't any other company operating, a factory, for example, have a similar requirement to provide houses for its people? The problem is that it's the more conditions that you load onto a mining company, the less attractive mining is as an investment. And if people don't invest in our mining, we will not have the jobs. So this is, I think, quite an important issue.
I think I raised this issue primarily because I was there with Lafarge and I was highly concerned because of the vicinity we were coming from. It's not an urban area with streets with proper housing facilities. It's a rural area in deep Limpopo area. So the housing for employees is a necessity, and I would like to then, if it's an issue of having to check on their mining license, what was stipulated on that, then I would like to pursue that route, because it is clear that they have no intention of building any housing for their employees. And if that is the case, we need to then inquire as to what is their mining license saying in regard to that. Because I think they are in violation of their mining rights.
Thank you, Jefferson. And just confused. If you are saying Lafarge is not entitled to build out, or we must go and see their license, what do you mean? Because there's a mining charter that obliges every mining company to obey those rules. Thank you very much.
Can we go and check the facts first? And maybe we'll have to consider not adopting the report now. Allow us to go and check the facts first. The issue of the Thank you. mining license, whether they're in compliance or not, I think it's a matter that can be determined not by their part or whoever, except the department. But most critical is that when we caught between a balance here, because the reason I'm saying let's go and check that, in some cases the issue of housing becomes a collective bargaining matter. That is agreed upon on collective bargaining forum. And I will have to check the facts whether was there a separate issue. What I remember very well was that part of the reason that was given was that the majority of those people that were employed in the local were employing 90% or so of those were local. I wouldn't remember why they gave the reasons for the small number that was outside the that percentage that was something that's going to change. And check also whether in the absence of because I can now remember correctly, whether in the absence of housing responsibility, there is no incentive that goes with it. But also part of the common things in mining would be your living as allowance, which has created problems in other areas. So that when we do that balance, we check correctly whether really there is no contribution that is being done on what addresses the issue of housing. But thirdly, the difficulty, I don't want us to go there, Honorable Remember, the difficulty is a discussion we can have later on. The argument that may arise is that if the issue of housing is a condition or a prerequisite in mining, it will be disingenuous that others will be compelled to provide and then others are not compelled to provide. Now, if we talk about business competition, the reality is that mining companies, they have been hard-pressed in the provision of housing in terms of what is required. Whether that is fair or not in terms of attracting investment is something else for the debate. But once you talk about trade and they are not in the equal pedestal, you then create an unfairness of trade. I always make this example and say, where I come from, one company in the process of saving on remuneration, it then got a competitive edge, but they were in the same industry. So it took what it was saving from remuneration and places by giving discounts, and therefore had a competitive advantage on that one that was complying. I don't want to mention names, it wasn't the retail sector. And then when people go, they just measure the commodity. They say, okay, here it's cheaper compared to this one. Unaware that this one was saving cost by not giving what was given. This one, let me say in inverted comma, was more, in as much as it may not have been satisfactory, was more privileged. And then the argument when it came to issues of collective bargaining was that, but as you are picking us to make this, you are not doing it to this one. And this one, when you go now, comes to the market, is enjoying the competitive advantage because what is saving from giving in to employees is now using it by giving. And then all of us, when we see a big sign in the trade, we rush to that one which has got the same. But that trade is as a result of a competitive advantage because then that the other one is giving. So I'm saying the point is that it's a discussion that, in my view, if we are going to talk about the attraction of investors, we should look at the industry. I would be quite worried that, for an example, now we are dealing with only the fast as an example. But I would be worried that if there is a company that is almost in the same level with Lafarge, but is actually providing that, but this one is not providing it, it says to me, then it means this one will be getting a competitive advantage because the saving is cost by not complying with what the other. So if it's non-competitive, we say it should not be a requirement. That's something else. But if it's a requirement, it should cut across everyone. No one must then have that competitive advantage simply because it's not provided. That's why I'm saying let's leave the issue and then look at what are the requirements and what are the provisions that we have to be made. I can't answer that question now, that's Honorable Mandela, because I don't want to sit here and say they've broken the law, when in actual fact we find that they've complied with what is required by law. Maybe there's something that says, if for an example you are here, this is what happens. In some cases, some of these companies, they may not necessarily provide housing. Make an example again. I think it was in Northwest. They may not necessarily provide housing, but they may make contributions by identifying land and other things, subsidizing, and then work with the municipalities in the provision of housing. It now doesn't become housing for employees. It becomes more of human settlement in general terms. So it's different ways that it works. So if you can be given to go and check what is the actual formula that is applying. So that if we, for an example, we say by category, Lafarge is supposed to be compliant. Although it's not, I can only agree with you as far as that element. It's not that every mining company, because what you must understand, the mining companies are different. It's not every mining company has got a standard approach in terms of what are the requirements on those issues. So can we be given to go and make that check? Yes or no?
Mr. Chair, I agree with you. We need to have the facts at our disposal. I just want to flag that what you just said as an approach is not something that I would agree with. In terms of, we must realize that not all mines are the same. If there's a mine in Hunter's Health, in Northern Cape, miles from human settlement, I think the requirements to provide accommodation for workers is very different to a mine such as this Lafarge Quarry, which is maybe a 20-minute taxi ride from the town. At times, have government stepping in and make everybody deal with exactly the same set of circumstances, no matter where they are in the country, is not the work of government. That is over-complex, and that, mines are in different places, mines have different sets of circumstances, there are different businesses, and they are responsible for getting a competitive advantage. It's not government's job to equal the playing field in anything other than in government regulations. I know that you may not agree, but that's our position. So that's a contested political position. But I agree once again that we should go back and get the facts in this particular case.
I will have, in fact, I should be the one who agrees with you more than, because I wouldn't be expecting that argument. The reality, if you talk about free trade, I don't think we should then say that there should be competitive advantage of the other. If you are dealing with the fact, I don't want us to go to that discussion now, because how would you find it fair if you say this one, in terms of what is regulated, must comply, but this one just ignore, even if it's not complying. To me, I'm saying that is absolutely not a fair market trade arrangement. The point, though, with Lafarge that I was raising was that if Lafarge is in the same category of what is required by law, I think that's the point that Honorable Mandela was raising. We can go as far as whether it is in compliance with what is this requirement. But I was then saying, in that regard, it will not be given a justification to then say, regardless of those circumstances, they can operate at a competitive advantage. Secondly, in some of the issues, whether it's about distance and so forth, that's why the question still remains is the mining license. What was the ground to which that was given? If we feel that the license was given, in our view, it was not consistent with what others are doing. Our sitting here as a chairperson of the portfolio committee, where there is a regulation, the first responsibility that we have to do is to ensure that we can answer questions. I would find it very odd that say a company may come and say, as a portfolio committee, you saw nothing wrong for this one not to comply with the law, but you wanted us to continue to comply with the law. That's the point I was talking about. in terms of an unfair competitive advantage. It's not a question of just transacting. I'm saying if I comply, can comply with the law, I expect also equal, if we're equal as citizens, which is the same thing with jurisdiction person. If we are equal, they are equal. By categorization, they remain equal. But I would also make the point that we are raising. We shouldn't compare. Sorry, mining, that's exactly what I said. Mining is not the same. Here, you are not talking about your high commodity product. You are talking about a quarry. When these licenses are given for mining, let's send mining if we to use that argument. Would you say the requirement is the same like a gold or a diamond or so forth mining company? So it may not necessarily, the requirement is supplying something that is completely different in terms of the product that is being used. If I remember very well, if your members will recall, among the other things that Lafarge was raising was the fact that there are three of those companies in different areas, and they're not producing the same. So that's why I said, yes, can we leave it? The point, though, I thought that Honorable Mandela was talking about in placing here was the issue which we then said, before we can make an opinion, although he said we needed to go and look at the license, the question we said, let's go and consult and look at the actual notes that are there. But the general practice is that you provide housing for employees. I'm not disputing the point that Honorable Lorim was saying that it helped because of the proximity. To the best of my understanding, was that there was only one union organized. That's what we are reporting. And my understanding was that it was based on a collective agreement of what existed around issues of accommodation. It may not have necessarily been, but I said, let me first go and consult. Because it may not be the terrain of the committee, for an example, if by collective agreement on issues of housing, that collective agreement becomes binding. Whether it's fair or it's unfair, that becomes another matter for us. So can we take that issue and then we'll be able to come back to the committee? Honorable Smith?
Yes, Secretary. Can I request the committee then just to, somewhere in the program, for next year, because this year's term has already been determined, to maybe slot in an issue or a discussion or a presentation by the department as to the conditions, the criteria, commodities, what do they take into consideration when determining in the SLP what is required of a mining company? Because it is very difficult to go to a mining company and then to say it hasn't produced any or it hasn't producing housing for mining employees when it wasn't a part of the SLP. It was intended to build roads, I don't know. But those issues we need to understand in order to actively engage and see whether those mining companies are delivering or are not delivering. As you say, they differ dramatically from commodity to where they're located, to the profit, to the turnover, to the EBIT formulation, all that kind of stuff will probably have an impact. But it's important for us to do our oversight work properly if we want to know what the criteria are. And I suppose, to start with what Mr. Mandela is to say, what is it in that mining license or that particular company that they have adhered to or not? But we cannot make real findings or suggestions or conclusions when we don't know what is in that contract with the DMR.
Okay. Can you go back to Chairman Paul? I think one of the issues, no, we'll take this point, but for me, I thought both Honorable Mandela and Honorable Jordan, maybe also what Honorable Smith is raising. I think, for an example, whether when you deal with entities or institutions like Lafarge, is there a separate process when you deal with coal mining, if one was to say so, what are the requirements and issues with it? I think the committee can make that conclusion. I don't think it's a difficult matter that Honorable Smith is coming in right. the issue that I thought we were going to discuss in the committee, based on the principal art process that we said. You recall we said post the principal art, post the mining transition, we want the department to come and make a presentation on the outcomes of the mining practice and the strategy, the mining strategy post the practice process. I think even there we will find an entry point to say, looking at all these issues, including the point that Honorable Lorima was raising around the issues of investment attraction initiative. We may deal with those balances there as a general notion. But in terms of, I'm not sure, for example, not of this operation practice, whether we will be able to tease out and draw separation of any commodity or whatever, and concession that can be of benefit or could delay. I'm saying those are some of the issues we can deal with, but I don't think it's a difficult thing. It may also be linked to the point that is still outstanding with the department on the issue of the issue of mining rights and mining licenses. You remember, what does it want? What is the first stage until to the last stage? We will find a way of how to dislodge those issues as one area. But on this report, another member, I think the first thing was that if I were to, well, I think sometimes is what you discuss. One issue, I'm just wanting to place most of this here. One issue that we raised was that on the issue of the syndrome, we among the issues that we're recommending, but it's not just finding. On the recommendation, we said there is a need that we have been more people memorial plans compared to what exists now. I think that's the first issue. The second point that we raised was that there is a need to have an interaction with the portfolio committee on small business in relation, because one of the things that we identified was that, for instance, if you go to an irrigation scheme, small irrigation scheme, one of the things we discovered there was that when mining companies start this SNC project, they sometimes left there. Now, it means they've got the responsibility of, if I were to use the word in inverted commas, of sponsoring, and then mentor, after mentoring, must take responsibility for sustainability. The point then we raised was that there is a need that there must be a linkage of what these mining companies, they made this provision of intervention in terms of enterprises. There should be now a process where, for an example, the other good one, that when you have done here is it, some put now beyond the department or the mining company must take responsibility in terms of nature. But currently, it seems they become the permanent baby of these mining companies. There is no linkage. Simple things also that we said, municipalities must be able to play their role. When you are looking there on that irrigation, simple things like, I don't know, let me use my township numbers. Your debt being the big one, and refuse connection, it becomes a problem. It seems they are not seen as part of the responsibility of the municipalities, or count them as part of the municipality in terms of. They were lacking basic things, transportation to take their goods wherever they want to take them. So I'm just saying part of this thing was a coordinated, that there is a need to link the project that is a result or an offspring of the mining companies to a permanent process. If you've got clinics, sometimes you can see it's like it's an isolated arrangement. I think it's only better when we're dealing with schools, then you can get a sense that Department of Basic Education will come in. But we're on the actual project, whether it's trade and industry, whether it's economic development, whether it's small business, there is no linkage in that regard. So I think that was one of the things we said. We will have to and I think we left a promise to those people to that we're going to link them with the chairperson of small business. Because what companies do is just, if one were to use this investment, it's what I would call a startup. In the final analysis, sustaining that business is as much as they are supposed to go somewhere else and develop. So that is the point that I think is left here. How we structure it, I think we may have to decide how we structure it. I think the other issues obviously are contained in the BRRR processes. For example, the interactions between provincial and local and national government. On the issue of the Evanda. First in Evanda, we said, when we observed the structures that have just delimited, we said that as part of our recommendation, there is a need to have a clear, what do you call it? That is why you wrote this, something of the attitude. I don't know. We said there must be a clear close-up strategy. I don't know what I said. So that some of the structures that are left can be utilized for the better benefit of the community. For example, when we're looking there, you would have just needed to do some few renovations and may have a huge block for what we call now TVs. If you look at that Evanda building, it's so huge, the structure. Unfortunately, it's only walls left. But we then say, out of when mines are closing, when they are struggling, those structures of this place, because where the hostel and everything, you can see there was even a kitchen and everything. We then say you needed to convert that into something that is beneficial to that community. Whether it may be a boarding school, whatever, we don't know, but the community must have a vision of how they are going to make use of the structure remaining. Rather than to have it in the manner that is remaining now, it's destroyed, it may be contributing quite expensive. The only difference there again would be the fact that the graves are quite closer. So that is one thing that we raised with regards to the structure. We said the closing up of mines, there must be a clear strategy. You wanted to make a point?
Yes, Mr. Chair. It links up with what you just said and what one of the recommendations are that mining companies in Mpumalanga should learn from the best practices in mining rehabilitation, of course, even itself. I think the invitation was circulated to all of us to attend to the Center of Environmental Rights workshop last week, Thursday. I attended it and it was a very interesting discussion. There were two professors, Professor Dickey and Professor Carol something, I can't remember the name. It struck me there how little we know about sustainability and about closure of mind and how we should perceive the closure of mind. It's not an exercise that we do conduct at the end of the life cycle of the mind. It should be right from the start of the mind, and we should still be aware of that. But it is something which I suggest, together with some of the other issues and the sustainability, when that comes to bear or comes to light in future discussions, we should consider getting those ladies, those two professors, to address the committee. I'm asking. Sorry? Don't rush. No, but until next year sometime. But it is really a very insightful discussion by those two professors, who only did it on the basis of law, legal requirements, and no politics. It was a basis of these are the requirements, these are how it should be viewed. And it should influence our view as to how we look at sustainability and the closure of mind.
Before the end, your view will be
okay.
But I think the point, that's why I'm saying one of the issues we're raising, that's why we are not just a formal attitude. Part of what we're raising at the environment was that that's what they were disputing, was that you don't start with a closing up strategy when you are closing towards closing. We said they needed to have that program moving on. But lengthy discussion to an extent we said, okay, now let's just leave it, because it was more of a one-on-one. But we think it was more of an advice that we sent to them. Carries a better strategy on how when that time arrives. And they said, no, don't worry. I said, no, but no, it's not what you have now. But being the case of this man, okay, we'll answer your opinion now. So I was just raising that issue with regards to the structure. But one other issue also was that we had requested that the department or those stakeholders were working on the Evanda mine, besides the issue of bringing in the police. We had said that because one of the things we're raising is not automatic, that because they are placed next to the hostel, it's not automatic that those were mine workers. That is the difficulty I have. There's no proof that it is mine workers. So when you put in a memorial stone or whatever you put it in recognition, it might happen that it was something else, which was a myth of was coming from a very difficult past. So ordinarily, an assumption of death on a grave is not a correct one, because I don't think you need to assume everybody go for all the tests, the LA tests and so forth. But the reality is quite dangerous to say those 950 something, which could be close to 1,000 graves, are automatically graves of mine workers. In some cases, there is even a dispute about the years of death or the correct names, because I think one of them, where we thought we were seeing the name, somebody said, no. In fact, this name was not here when initially this thing was discovered. It seems to be something that came later on. That's why we then said the department, especially those who are carrying that project, must meet with the SAPS. Look at how this thing can be handled. If it needs be, because again, some of these people are not known. What then becomes the way forward beyond just the recognition? So we have said they will have to come back here, part of that report, and give us a presentation on the work undertaken concretely in relation to those graves in Uganda, including their interaction with the Heritage Council. But the issue was that they took automatically that it was Then, is there any other matter? One part that is left here also, I don't think, because we are always got three departments that are complaining about that. There are three opportunity committees. It's water and sanitation, it's environment, and west in Mpumalanga is agriculture. Part of that recommendation was the issue of balancing agriculture and need of the balancing exercise of agriculture and minerals. Unfortunately, in some areas, for example, even the MEC raised this issue, but in one point where processes are earmarked for agriculture, then preference comes in and it becomes mining instead of agriculture. So there was that issue to say there is a need of that is why, among other things, I think we have a recommendation to also interact with the agriculture. In fact, agriculture, I will say this now, if the oversight does take place in there. So we're saying on the oversight, the request to go with mineral resources, or we must borrow them one person from mineral resources. So it actually means when they go to Mala, and I know that has been one, that was one of the issues that were very strong in Mala, on the fact that agriculture seems to be in extinction in preference of mining, and also as a consequence, pollution of the environment. So I think that is the issue that we need to today. Is there any matter that one of the members, Honorable Smith?
Mr. Chair, yes. On the last issue you mentioned, one of my pet subjects is that LUPO legislation that has been supplanted or replaced by later legislation, which all the provinces have not yet adopted. And that is the answer, duly respectfully submitted, in the solution to Mpumalanga's issue, because if there is a proper land use development scheme in place, they are then bound to either consult with the municipality or with provincial government in certain instances to allow them to mine or not to mine. And there is where the balance between land use for mining and land use for agriculture then takes place. DMAR does not have that knowledge, it doesn't have that ability to indicate what is more important on a particular issue. It carries a mandate to approve mining license or mining permits, and it doesn't really consider all the bigger socio-economical consequences. Now, I think what we should do, Mr. Chair, is maybe when we do an oversight, and one of those provinces do complain, ask them whether they have passed that particular legislation which empowers them to have some input into whether that mining right should in fact be executed into a mining operation. That's where the power lies, if I read the situation correctly.
Okay, but we still have the comments on that. Okay, in that case, honorable members, I don't want to continue when you have done so well. Do we agree that we give you space, honorable Oruma, honorable Matala was complaining that today you are so quiet. You ended up speaking, you decided to go quiet.
Yeah.
I can see. The issues, honorable members, I think in terms of the report, were quite open. The reality, though, is about what we found. The honorable Lorima made the point that in some of the views that I expressed today, they may reflect views of some members of the committee which you may not share with them, will be open to deal with those issues. But I think it would be fair to allow you yourself to also go back, refresh your mind. We rework again the absence of a better one, the amendment you suggested, and the additions that we put in. We present now a report that is a reflection of this discussion of the day. And if there are issues that honorable members may feel they want to, I think we'll be comfortable if they forward it to the secretary even before we come here, so that we know that these are points of discussion in relation to the report, if they're in. But they are not compelled that we will not deal with them when we meet here. But for now, our concentration is going to be polishing what is the outcome of this discussion today. And then honorable members can look at that as a true reflection of what we discussed here. So it will be more of a report in the context of similar to minutes for the first time. On that note, I think we are done with the report. The last issue, honorable members, I think we must deal with not the last. The last issue before the last is the minutes of the 21st. We have already corrected IM. Speaking on his behalf. That is on page 1. On page 2,
on page 2, Chair, opening, put a number.
phase two, phase three. And phase four. In my room, four should be five. I mean, should always be three, because, for an example, I've taken a decision now on the report. I find it very difficult that that decision needs time. It will come after the adoption of the minutes. This can make someone different, and the minutes are not a true reflection of the proceedings of the minutes. She says the format that they are given to the administrative. Now, you assume all were subjected to that administrative process. No. I'm not denying. But still, for me, resolutions under minutes can only come under matter of arising, because they're an outcome of the minutes. But I find it very difficult to accept that. As we're discussing the report on Mpumalanga, what we're going to do, it comes after the meeting of this meeting. That is my technical part. Let me, I hope for the last time I'm going to be able to control that we reflect the minutes as this, and then I've been battling with this thing, but I'll be defeated now for the last time. Okay. Then on page 5, okay, you've done any mover? Honorable Nyandi?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of this minutes of the Court of Fishing with amendment.
Honorable any second? You have this item. Honorable Mapon?
I second.
Okay. Matters arising, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5.
Do we have any indication, Mr. Chair, when we're going to get some kind of feedback on PAKISA? Are we going to schedule that in as one of the first items next year?
Yeah.
committee took a decision. I want to move from that place. Took a decision that immediately after Kagisa is over, the department will come here and preside. So I think it is a reasonable assumption that in the first quarter of next year, they will be able to make a presentation. But also remember, there's still two outstanding issues which we think they will have to address, you know, to clarify through the Pakistan Council. So, my Mukata, as well as the entrance to the council. So, my take would be that predominantly in the first quarter or so, we'll be preoccupied. I'm hopeful, I'm remaining optimistic even in pessimistic circumstances and conditions. I remain optimistic that we will be finally able to pull through this thing of the NPRPA. Because I think all of us who can't push them to come back, we have to find a way to put a new situation. So, what will our level be to push? So, because, for example, sitting here, I'm of the view that you would have been quite appropriate. Maybe post, it might be still relevant, but it would have been quite appropriate if we had started and dealt with the issue of the NPRPA amendment processes, so that when we go to Pakisa, it's able to relate. Maybe in reverse, when there is Pakisa, we'll be able to see how it's supposed now to shape the NPRPA amendment process. So sitting here is one of the priorities that we must get the outcomes of the mining practical processes, including the implementation strategy dialogue. I but no doubt we will do our best. Yes,
thanks for that answer, Mr. Chair. Just in a related question, are we able to submit to you suggestions for items which we would like to see discussed by the committee in the next term?
Well, very long time. On my first day when I was elected in the chairperson, I cannot answer that question because it is black and white. It puts me in an awkward position to answer it when the committee took that decision. The issue was a question as to what then we have to do. I mean, it could be a procedural matter.
Yes, Honorable Chair. Can we also make sure that the committee secretary make a follow up to the department, the MR, with regard to the 60 project that MINTEC is facilitating around the beneficiation? Because if we don't do that, we might end up not getting the whole information from the department next term. So can we give the our secretary that powers to make the point that she follow it up with the department to get the whole project that has been facilitated by MINTEC? There's 60 of them, not only 260, because in the previous meeting they reported that they are facilitating 60 projects in MINTEC. So they promised us that the report will be forwarded to the committee in due course. Unfortunately, they are attending the mining partition, and I will request, with due respect, Chair, the committee secretary be given that power to facilitate and make the point that she gets the report from the department, not from MINTEC, but the department. The department will see to it that how do they get it from MINTEC as promised. Thank you so much.
No, another member, let's agree. We, that's our duty. The only thing is that it's open-ended, that's coming. So the point is, you are correct. It's not the only one. And hopefully it's not going to disappear on the day. We are compiling the list of issues that the department is facilitating
remember the Sunram, which is the other one. There was the Minister of Companies in terms of the money charter, money compliance. There were quite a few, about 4 or 5 of them. So we welcome them. Probably we should find a way to bring the response in the next meeting. If you not a response, you must go to meeting to say these are the areas that will submit to the department to give us a response on. In terms of deadlines, we will see what we want. Some of these things are long outstanding. Then, if that is the case, I think we are done, honorable members. The point I wanted to say, honorable gentlemen, is that amongst other issues, members should be mindful. What members submit, we have to look into some of them. We have submitted things that we said needed to be done, both by the department and in the principal and process. Amongst those, for example, is the issue that we just talked about, the non-expenditure by non-expenditure of about 200 million. The need for them to be able to present to this committee why such an amount has been unspent and how are they going to make the financial that money to be spent. There's an issue that we in the first place, as you said, offer an approach to look on the issue of the state damage shoulder and looking at the business model, whether the relator service went to 30 minutes, excuse my language, liquidation. There is an issue that we raised that was raised in relation to the issue of the R&D, research and development. There is an issue in relation to quite a number of other matters that the committee felt we needed to dispose to deal with. As a matter of open edging. So we will try and consolidate those issues, but obviously, as the principle has been raised and has been passed, we need now to extract some of these issues, bring them for the committee. As we develop the program for the following year, we have to find a way to keep some of them into our program in terms of achieving. Okay, on that note, the last one. You have done very well. The last one is that because the department is still locked up and we don't want to be locked up, and I did speak to the minister and the city in the city, most of them are tied up in the operation traffic activities. And you know, the coordinators from Limpopo and Cape Town, it becomes a cumbersome one. We're then saying that the committee must look at areas or issues that may not necessarily require the department or the entities to be here. Amongst those now, Honorable Schmidt, was the issue of the two professors we are talking about, on the issue of rehabilitation and so forth, human closure, to come and make presentations to the committee on their request to act and what can actually require the committee. That is the first thing. The second one is that we've got a huge task that is contained in almost every report we submit to Parliament, the crisis of illegal mining. There's been a request from the Human Rights Commission that they want to come and make a presentation to the committee with regards to illegal mining. We then suggested that we need to look into those, may not be the only one, and put them so to the conference. So it's subject to the availability of either of the two. Those, that's what we are going to be dealing with. The third one that we're looking at consideration, but we have to check as the ones that deals with the liquidation in Master of the High Court. Mm-hmm. If you look, remember that I saw the City Press last Sunday, City Press, the place for the situation. You remember we said we would want to get a post the, that process when the Master of the High Court came to make presentation. So we're looking at issues of that nature to be able to wrap up in the meantime for the committee master that we do. So, but for now, we're looking at slotting in those two processes for the thinking to enhance and access to empower the committee. But we'll notify you, thank you.
And I have done it.
No, don't take my card.
You're asking a question.
Yeah, and I have done it.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. On that note, honorable members, you are released. Judgment is reserved.
Thank you.